Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Hey, everybody. It's our 200th episode of How Did This Get Made? Oh, my goodness. We are so excited that you have been with us for 200 episodes or 5 episodes. We just love that you're listening. Thank you so much for that. Continue to tell your friends. We hope to be here for 200 more. So without further ado, here we go.
Fuck a duck and hold on to your balls. We saw Action Jackson, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they calling in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! We are live. We are live at Largo at the Coronet Theater in Los Angeles, our LA home, and we are so excited to talk to you tonight about a classic. Action Jackson, Carl Weathers. This is an amazing movie. A movie that I want a sequel for, and we will get into all of that. If you told me that Craig T. Nelson was going to be full on doing karate in this movie, I would say, get the hell out of here. But no, it happens. Twice. Joining me as always to break down this film, please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks? How we doing, everybody? Oh boy.
Jason.
Paul!
I feel like this movie falls in the thank God it got made
category.
Oh,
yeah. I think I saw this movie when it was like a VHS rental movie that you could watch. That was exciting, question mark? And I rewatched it today, and it's just as good as I remembered. I mean, wow, the raw charisma just leaping off the screen.
Well, it's got everything. I mean, it's got
Are
sexual tension.
Are we feuding with Vanity?
Yeah, this is our second Vanity film in a short period of time.
In a very short period of time.
I think we're actually exposing her to a brand new audience. Let's bring people in.
I'll take it. That's great. She sang in this one, which was terrific.
Twice. And I would argue that we get into some more serious acting here. She plays someone...
Very serious.
Yeah, you know.
Very serious acting. When he opened up the jewelry, the necklace box, and it was just a syringe, I was like, what's happening now? This is wild.
I was going to say it was on the level of Requiem for a Dream. Also
what you,
here...
What do you mean?
The syringes.
Ah, the syringes. No. Action Jackson, the Requiem of a Dream of its time. Oh boy, we're really gonna get into it tonight.
I cannot wait. I mean,
there's a lot.
Oh, I have plenty of notes.
I have a quote that I just have quotes around. Keep your dick on, kid. That's a line in the script, in the movie, that an actor then said.
Oh.
Keep your dick on, and kid.
If I was...
As if removing one's dick as a child was possible. And that a warning might be needed to...
Keep your dick on.
Keep it on.
I would say that the number of times that dicks are referenced in this film at an all-time high for a 90-minute movie.
Yep.
Here to talk to us more about this film is my other co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Hi, June. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Great to see you.
So, quickly.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to think about every man's dick in this movie. There was not a male character that showed up on screen who I couldn't, there was not a moment's peace for me. I had to be reminded.
There wasn't a dickless moment?
It was not a single peaceful dickless moment in this entire film.
It really does. Everyone's dick is talked about.
Is mentioned, just what it can do, what it cannot do.
Just when you get to a point where dicks aren't being mentioned, jar full of balls.
Which I told Jason backstage, when I was a kid growing up, I had heard that this movie is like, the villain cuts off people's dicks and keeps them in jars. And I've never forgotten this. And when I watch this movie, I was like, when is it going to happen?
That's how a fetish is created.
I only have like four, and they're collector's issues. They're cool.
Like your eBay history is real weird.
Joining us to talk about the film tonight is somebody, the first time they've been on the podcast. Please welcome Seth Rogen. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you. Yeah.
That guy gets it.
And you have seen this movie twice now.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it last night, and then I watched it again today during the day.
Just to really dig in.
I actually quite liked it. There was a lot I liked, and I didn't get it, and then so I thought I'd watch it again. And it didn't help that much, but
was there anything the second time around that you were like, oh man, that subtext I'm really picking up now really is delivering?
I thought Craig T. Nelson's plan was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, especially as it came and it like played off of racism. Like that was part of the plan. Yeah. That I was like, wow, that's like pretty interesting of him. And he was bad. That's what I also, I kept writing, Craig T. Nelson is bad.
Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson does a thing that kisses makes him
his,
so
he shoots his wife yeah. and then kisses her.
And then,
like, what? This is what's so crazy about the movie. It goes dark in yeah. moments. Yeah. And then it's like, comedy. It's like, whoa, wait a second. You just kissed your dying wife, like, yeah. hard on the lips.
She was dead. She wasn't even dying.
Yeah.
She was, like, dead. And he, like, Frenched her. It was, like, the sexiest part of the movie.
But also, the what she could have done was already done. Like, why kill her at that point?
Why did she still think he was trustworthy? She had so much evidence against him and then leaves the note for action. It's like, hey, I'm going to confront him about everything. I can't imagine he's part of this. Cut to, like, he's all of this, and he is going to shoot you. And then his guys come in, and he's like, okay, get rid of her, blah, 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 like, with a cigarette or whatever. I was like, what's going on? Yeah.
There's a lot of cigarette acting in the movie.
Yes.
Robert Davi,
oh, yeah.
Who is great.
He's good.
Yeah, he's the buddy that Action Jackson goes to visit him, and he's like, huh.
Oh, yeah.
Where the fuck did you come from?
I was like, Tony.
You just called him. You told him to come. He said, I'm coming.
He does my favorite thing in the whole movie. Because he's like paranoid because he works for the unions and he knows too much. And so he's barricaded himself in his apartment and he calls his friend Action to come over. And then he tells him all this shit and Action leaves and leaves the door unlocked completely.
As he found it.
As he found it. But then, so the bad UPS guy comes and delivers the package to Robert Davi, who not only isn't suspicious, he seems so genuinely happy to be getting a package.
Thank God. Something's going well.
Yeah, he's like, oh, wow. A package. Like, amidst all this terrible shit that's happening, someone took the time to send me a package.
And then the guy goes,
he's like, oh, wow.
It's COD. Yeah. And which is cash on delivery.
It should be DOA.
And shoots him like that's a good last line?
No.
That's what it should be. Like, it should be it's DOA.
Yeah.
Boom. But I also wanted to applaud the UPS man because the UPS man really took that part. He had a cart. He had a fully signatured list. Like
He had other boxes.
Yeah.
He had other boxes.
He's been working there for months into that
Just
role.
To get this level of access, he became a UPS man for a year. He's deep. He's Daniel Day-Lewis in this.
And they shot him in the chest, and then they say that they think it might be a suicide.
I was like, the coroner. The coroner says it's a suicide.
It's been ruled a suicide.
How?
He shot himself in the chest in his front door.
From like 3 feet away.
Through a clipboard.
He shot himself.
Through his clipboard.
It's nuts.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family, we had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney. And that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
Let's start at the top of this movie.
Keep in mind, Action Jackson has a degree from Harvard Law,
which is on full display during one
and
scene.
And he's just straight talking law with dudes at parties. Like arguing case law at a function.
Making good points too.
It wasn't like Action Jackson was like a nerdy guy who also had a violent side. It was like he had a violent side always. Like he was ripping off people's arms, and he was a person in
arms. Well, that's what was so weird. It's like you would think he wouldn't use extra force because he could always go fall back on the law. No.
Well, it's because he's psychotic, and I kept writing. I kept writing. He's suicidal. I wrote that because he kept going crazy and being like, kill me, come on. And that's why I think there's like a real backstory. Like, again, I watched it
something happened.
A lot of thought was, but I think something happened.
In those 2 years when he's been behind a desk, he's gone insane.
There's a hulkish thing happening, I think. But the beginning's amazing. It's a great cold open.
Yes, so this cold open, first of all, it's a Joel Silver movie, which I love all of. It's so great.
And Herbie Hancock did the music.
Yeah, it's... So you open up on this building.
I said that like it's an amazing
so
thing.
But I was excited when I saw Herbie Hancock.
Oh, Rocket? I used to break dance to Rocket all the time.
That's awesome.
They open up on this scene.
I'm sorry, June, to bring up breakdancing.
No, it's fine.
I know that.
I feel like you want me to be impressed.
No.
Like I could do
I'm
it
just
right
saying,
here.
I would breakdance to that song.
Yeah, you could move your body around on the ground.
Preparation for breakdancing at bar and bat mitzvahs. I would practice to that song.
This opening scene, it's, you know, this a man of power of some kind is talking to his number two. She's doing grammar checks on a speech
he's dictating a letter to her.
He's dictating a condolence letter about the death of another union leader because the plot's already started.
Yes, we're starting in the middle. Good stories, we're starting in the middle.
It's a bold choice because, again, you don't, as a first-time viewer, going on. You're like, is this the main bad guy?
That's what I thought. I was like, these must be important people. These must be, nope, okay, got it.
So I thought that it was a letter from the union, but it was going out to like a factory worker who had had a very misfortunate accident at the factory.
Whoa.
Wow.
Night he does that.
All right, let's go through the maimings. All right.
All right. We're just dictating letters of like, well, your husband got smushed. Sorry we smushed
with
your husband.
Deepest condolences. New sentence. Okay. I want.
So now I realize.
Now that I'm done dictating, how about a back rub? Because I'm also a creep.
So how many union leaders die in this movie?
Oof.
Around 8.
Yeah. This movie is very anti-union.
It's basically just to be clear, the plot is that Coach is going to kill Everybody who's in line to become the union leader of the auto workers union,
right,
until his one guy that he controls can become the leader.
When you just said that, it finally made sense to me.
But like, that's basically like, okay, the guy that I bought is like housing and urban development secretary. I'm gonna kill everybody from the president all the way down to, it's too many people to wipe out. To like get somebody closer in line, I think.
Yeah, get your bribing done.
No, it's a designated survivor union type situation that he's doing. Yeah, it's a weird, but he's doing it.
Yes, and he not only doing it, he does it.
He does it.
He's a success.
Yeah. This is what I'll say about this movie. This opening scene
is amazing.
Is amazing and starts this thing that I love, which is these bad guys go through so much for simple killing.
Yes. Like, oh my
it's
God.
The easy, like, they can walk in, bam. Nope.
They all have gimmicks, crazy gimmicks. Butterfly knives.
This one,
like, limitless.
Unlimited butterfly knives.
Unlimited butterfly knives. Shishu, shishu, shishu. Throw.
The least efficient
and
knife.
And then he never goes and pulls it out. He just has another one.
They fly a helicopter. These guys rappel down from a helicopter and then give June the biggest jump scare of your life. You screamed as if it was the biggest horror reveal of all time.
Okay, first of all, I could barely see the TV, and what I thought was happening, I knew nothing
barely
about this
the
movie.
TV. It's at the foot of our bed.
But I could barely see the TV. Paul, what TV are you making?
What were you doing?
I could
barely
see
it. I make her watch TV through binoculars.
You go to the other TV.
I'm going to put it on the neighbor's house. Here's bird watching binoculars and a set of headphones.
I knew nothing. I don't even think I knew the title at that point. And I thought, when I looked up, I thought there were a bunch of giant spiders.
Wait, that's what you thought? That spiders broke?
What? You thought this movie was a giant spider movie? Wait a minute.
I looked up and for a second, I was
so
listening.
You think
I was listening.
The movie starts with a man dictating a letter about the death of somebody at the factory and then giant spiders.
By the way, this is the thing about a cold open. You never know. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know. I'm along for the ride. My mind is totally available to these filmmakers. And when I looked up, what I saw with these eyes was like five giant spiders hurling themselves.
They have ropes. They're repelling. Yeah. Did you think that was their web?
Oh, my God.
And when you realized that they weren't spiders, that was like how deep into the movie? But they
really
they,
like that elite team was dispatched kind of unceremoniously. Like I felt like no. Blonde wig guy, everybody like
the guy who kicked the guy who kicked that woman to death.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm into like this ghost team of assassins, but then they just kind of go away.
But by the way, how were they ghosts? They broke into a small office. Four of them. And
to
then,
kill a union leader.
And they disappeared. He's like, what the, where the fuck did they go?
But there's also like a bunch
of. I can see all four walls in the shot.
That's why they're scared. That guy's whole thing is he kicked people and disappeared.
Yeah. There also was like, they were not, they were noisy.
Yeah.
Their arrival, there was like.
They heard them for minutes.
Do you hear that? No, I think it's okay.
No, she kept saying, my boyfriend's here.
Oh, that's like, that's
what did that mean?
That I'm must second, be my boyfriend.
That made less sense the second time.
My heavy, like, my heavy-footed boyfriend.
Yeah.
By the way, that's just her being like, please stop giving me a back rub.
Yeah, exactly.
My boyfriend is here.
Because I have a boyfriend.
I have a boyfriend. Please stop giving me a back rub.
By the way, when he's trying to figure out the TV, if you notice, it's Rocky II and Carl Weathers is in that boxing scene. Yeah, which is just a weird.
That is a weird meta reality break.
Like a ballsy choice to be like, oh yeah, let's maybe put our star in the TV, looking in the same exact way that he is now. But they come in and they kind of torture him a little bit. They frighten him and then they shoot him with a weapon that I am still not sure what this weapon is. Is it a flare gun?
It's a grenade launcher.
Okay, grenade.
It bursts you into flames.
Yeah, just everybody is.
It launches a grenade at you, which explodes.
And then also blows out the entire floor of that building like Die Hard style.
Not subtle at all. Yeah.
And then he falls into a restaurant full of people eating.
That was.
I forgot about that.
Then it cuts straight to like. synth pop music.
Exactly.
It's like burning a charred corpse falls into a restaurant, and then it's like, and I was like, this is an amazing transition.
I loved it. I thought it was so good.
Well, you cut into these two cops, and this is where I thought the movie was going to get a little bit weird. You see this, like, robber, a thief. He's, like, scoping people out on the street, and he scopes out this woman. And I put woman in quotes because at first when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, that's a, I guess it's a woman. It looks a little bit like a man, but I'm not, whatever. And then I did some research. It is a man.
Of course it's a man, Paul. It was a man from the first shot.
Well,
is it a stunt man dressed as a woman?
Yeah, it is a stunt man. Like, well, I mean, look,
but
hold on.
When he first, when, well, yeah.
So that is a man. And
he has 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah,
and but yet not revealed to be a man.
No. Within the narrative of the film, that's a woman.
Yes. Which is an odd choice to open on a real, like, let's just see it. Let's see. Like, it's a bizarre choice.
Do you think that's Robert Renault? Do you think that's like
who wrote Demolition Man?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So he's good.
He knows.
Wait, is Demolition Man before or after this?
Oh, way after.
Okay. I want to just say for like
that's Alonzo Brown, by the way.
This movie looks good.
Yeah.
I think it is shot well. I think the DP who shot it is like a famous DP. Like there are things about it I very much. I felt very conflicted because I genuinely liked a lot of it.
No, I feel like
then other parts, you're like, what the fuck is happening right now?
I feel like tonally, they don't know exactly what they want it to be. Like, my gut was like,
it was a tonal problem.
They were like, Beverly Hills Cop is big, so let's make our version of Beverly Hills Cop. But they're like, but we'll be funny. Like in a weird way, but then we'll make that. Like, it's like they tried to like capture that.
Well, they didn't have the other side of it, really. They didn't have like, they basically just had, because Carl Weathers is really only capable of intense cop attitude. Right.
And then they team up with a woman who's in heroin withdrawal. Yeah.
But then they give him like an Eddie Murphy-esque character piece when he plays the preacher.
Yes.
And you're wait, what? It takes place in Detroit. It's like they're doing things. They're like, yeah, they'll eat this up. It's like someone like just like, we'll do another one. Yeah. It came out in 1988, by the way, just so you guys know. 1988.
I would say that the number of civilian deaths that take place in this movie is upwards of 500.
Easy.
In the car chase, it's crazy.
Car chase, like when the car flies into the explosives truck and the explosives truck blows up, like, at least 3 children die in that. Like, without a doubt.
Everything in this movie blows the fuck up. Like, I mean, it is. This is the height of, like, one thing. It's like.
And he chases down a cab on foot.
Yeah. He chases down a cab on foot. Him in the street. The cab on the sidewalk.
And he is not chasing it down. He is running parallel to it. Like there is no difference.
But guys, he's a track and field star.
They say that. Do say it. But even the best track and field stars in the world, could you jump up?
Yes.
Could you jump? Could you jump?
Over a car?
Could you jump up? Is there any way in the world you could jump up over a car?
I think if a car was driving at me, I could run and jump over it.
Okay.
Who's
got a car here? Let's do it outside. Let's take it outside.
Out on La Cienega
right
now. I want
to jump over a low car.
But it doesn't even seem like he has a running start. It just seems like he kind of just goes like
jumping from total stillness.
He's telling him to hit him. He's going, hit me. Hit me like a man. He's like telling him to hit him.
I thought he was saying, get out of the car. Come fight me. And in fact, no, he was like, I'll fight the car.
Yeah.
And
that
he
guy
wins.
Lives.
And he wins.
Yeah. But the guy lives.
The guy lives because a huge part of the plan is that he's a lookalike for Carl Weathers. The plan is we're going to put a red shirt on this guy, and then everybody's going to think it's you. At a certain point, I was like, the plan could be we have vanity, kill the guy, or we kill her, right? That's like, we're going to blackmail, we're going to make you do this thing. No. this guy's gonna put your shirt on, ha ha ha. And then, ha ha, we got your shirt.
At the end, I thought Carl Weathers was just gonna stand up and be like, it's not me.
I'm right here.
But like, but I'm part, not in the tree.
And part of the plan was right here.
Wearing my famous red shirt that I've murdered in.
And like, part of the plan was also that they would find his charred body somewhere.
Yeah.
So like, he would, like, well, how are they gonna get his body to be charred in any way?
He was gonna crash during the escape.
Oh, well, yeah, they were going to use that flame thing that's like, bring the gasoline in here. And then they've got some sort of flame thing.
It's a Detroit auto building tool.
Oh, okay, that's right.
But then before he uses the flame thing to kill a guy, he says, chill out. Which was very confusing.
And just so you know, like, so the main bad guy, this is, it almost plays like a sequel, because I guess at the end of the first interaction that he had, like, he beat the shit out of him. He basically beats the shit out of Elon Musk. I mean, that's
his,
like,
son. No. It's he beat up his son. Because his son, I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sexual psychopath.
Yeah.
That phrase lingered with me for the whole movie. What? Whatever does that mean?
He's a sexual psychopath.
And he said, what does that mean?
He put the kid in prison, right?
Yeah,
right.
And he broke his arm.
Yeah.
And he said he has another one.
But he's a sexual psychopath. Like, why is Action Jackson, why is he being, like, at all on the police force, being, like, derided or, like, joked about or anything? Like, he seems to be unequivocally a hero,
yeah.
Yes.
Capable, and, like, also a Harvard-educated lawyer, everybody's like, what a fucking turd.
But then
everybody's like, this guy, whatever. What? This is just unequivocally a hero is here.
He's like a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is not a
mortal man.
And everybody's Captain like, Armbruster.
Hey, just Jackson, phone's for you.
But then they build him up, and I thought that, like, this is where the movie, like, I enjoy this movie, but it goes back and forth being weird, because when the two cops are like, oh, you're going to get to meet Action Jackson, his mother was molested by Bigfoot and made
which is
him.
The craziest origin story. And what I assume the first movie it was about.
Yes. It's a period piece. And it is about a woman who gets molested by Bigfoot.
That's how Bigfoot sniffed her out.
Yeah.
What am I favorite? One of my favorite movie tropes is like the introduction of a police department, like the opening shot where there's like a prostitute and a crazy guy walking by. And in this opening shot, there's literally 50 people walking at the same time.
It's very dynamic.
Yeah.
Every single person on the set is walking.
And then the cop who comes in with the bad guy is like, goes to the prostitute, like, how much for a hand job? Like,
yeah.
Oh, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, because it didn't seem like a joke. It seemed like if she would have said 20, he's like, all right, let's go. Like.
But I like that she was like, how about a foot job, and then kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you,
yeah,
assaulting a police officer.
In a police station.
That's not going to be a great thing, but I like that she did it.
I wrote down protein pickup. That was in the...
What was that?
Yeah, that was like... that was a line... Again, a line. A lot of dick-related lines. And not as jokes. More as like, you have a dick and here's a thing about your dick. It's like... So Action Jackson's been behind a desk for 2 years, and now he's back on the case, and he's doing guard duty for Craig T. Nelson, who's winning Man of the Year. And this is where we meet Sharon Stone for the first time.
I still, for the life of me, don't understand why he was put in that position.
I think it was a test. I think.
Oh, because I thought the same thing.
I think arm bruster.
A test so that...
He would have been promoted
had it gone well there?
I think maybe.
But my question was, because Bill Duke, it's Bill Duke, right? Who's the chief?
Yes, Bill Duke.
Yes.
Bill Duke is like, I can't go to this party.
Because
I know.
Because like it's a wife's
Parcheesi night. Because it's Parcheesi night. My wife's Parcheesi night.
Flexible.
That's got to be a euphemism for sex, right? My wife's Parcheesi night. And so now you've got to go be at the event of the man whose son's arm you almost ripped off,
right.
Whose son you put in jail, who's
sexual
the reason you've been demoted. Like, if you're Bill Duke, you're basically setting your guy up
right
to fail. Also, Sharon Stone is not the mother of the son who's the sexual psychopath, right?
Right, no.
Where's his first wife?
So he mentions it at the very end.
He does mention it.
He mentions it and he says that for financial reasons,
yeah,
that his partner and his first wife had to go.
Oh, okay. In the first Action Jackson movie that never got made.
We have to do a prequel. Come on. Get someone in
there. By the way, a prequel would be amazing.
Would be amazing.
Hannibal Buress.
Start on Bigfoot.
and it ends with...
Happening on a camping site.
It ends with Jericho, no. More like Action Jackson.
When you first meet Sharon Stone, he's on stage giving a speech, and then Sharon Stone's like in the hallway also watching, but he brings her up on stage. Like, it's a weird moment to introduce. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just nitpicking a thing that's so stupid, but like, why would she be so far away from him when he's about to give a speech and introduce her to everybody? Like, and my wife. And she's like, oh, I'm on. Let's go. Like, I was going to hang out in this hallway the entire time. Like, she should be at that table. I did want to talk about the names, too. Armbruster is a name. Papa Doc.
Sean Delaplane.
Delaplane. Cotterwell. Cornblow.
They're great names.
Nazatori.
Those are good names.
These are all great names.
Yeah, they're all cool names.
This is like a high school's worth of great names.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is... eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Can we talk about his apartment?
Sure.
Jackson's apartment. Yes. By the way, Action Jackson is very hard to say.
I don't know if it rhymes.
Yeah.
It does not.
It doesn't rhyme.
It does not.
By the way, do you know how they came up with the name Action Jackson? So Carl Weathers came up with this entire idea on the set of Predator. He told Joel Silver,
Predator crossed. Bill Duke is in both.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
and there's a lot of Die Hard.
A lot of Die Hard. This is everybody.
Huge amount of Die. The entire cast of Die Hard is in the movie.
Yeah, it's like these are like you got this guy.
Yeah.
You got the
Argyle. I screamed Argyle.
I feel like I've never seen Argyle in anything. Yeah.
He was on Head of the Class.
And then Robert Davi was the FBI guy.
He was Johnson. And there's another, there was one, the blonde dude who's one of the bad henchmen guys
was
the guy who kills the desk clerk in Die Hard and is at the desk the whole time.
And the first guy in the opening scene is the drug dealer that Mel Gibson takes down in Lethal Weapon 1 with the Christmas tree.
Well, it's because of stunt. Man directed this movie.
Oh, really?
Okay. And it's all these stunt guys are in it, and he's from a stunt family, like a famous stunt family. And I know because I was with a first AD that I was with Watson. I was like, oh, I'm watching Action Jackson. He's like, oh, the Baxley's directed that movie. They're stunt royalty. There's like 30 of them. Yeah, and
that's why everything is blowing up and people are like falling. I feel like that, like whenever you see people falling, that's like a good stunt man because it's hard to do and it's like real bodies.
People go through windows into other windows.
Yeah.
When he throws the guy across the
wall.
Yeah.
It's Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Yes.
I kept thinking. And he is like The Rock, kind of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he's kind of asexual like The Rock. Yep. Like, he won't fuck the woman like The Rock. Like, The Rock would never fuck a woman. Like, but like... He wouldn't in his movies.
He would rescue his wife and daughter, but he would never fuck either of them.
He would kiss them on the head.
He would
like a head kiss.
Despite the best urgings from the writers. But like Jason Statham would have fucked her, like the heroin lady. But The Rock wouldn't have. And that's why I was like, he's kind of like The Rock.
So Carl Weathers on the set of Predator comes up with this idea. And they start telling, they're telling the idea to this Australian crew member, and the crew member says, he goes, do you want to be a part of it? And he goes, I'm in like Action Jackson. And they go, that's the title. So that's how they came up
with it. It's just a stupid thing Australians say. This movie could have been called Shrimp on the Barbie.
But it does make you go like that. That level of decision making is about what every decision went through on this movie. It was like, got it, go. Chill out. I got a flamethrower. Fuck it, go, go, shoot.
What should I say? Chill out. Yeah, it does. Go, go.
We've already got a big thing that shoots a flame. What if somebody walked in with a can of gasoline, though? Great, do it. Let's blow that guy up as well.
But June, you wanted to talk about Action Jackson's apartment.
Okay, in his apartment, there is a lifelike figure.
It's the early show,
guys. Did you not
guys.
See this in the second
viewing? I don't
viewing?
Think I saw it.
Two yes. viewings?
By the way, June also, second.
What the second, fuck is that?
The second jump scare of the
guys,
movie for June.
What is that?
What the fuck is that?
I didn't notice that.
Wait, what is
the
it?
The fuck?
It's wait, like Hereditary.
Okay, for real. So I screamed and I said, "Paul, what the fuck is that thing? What the fuck is that?" And he kept on saying over and over, which was infuriating. It's a dummy. He has a dummy.
What do you?
I thought it was like a statue, like a maid statue.
And
like
what's funny
bunny.
Is that dummy came up with the idea for Demolition Man on the set of this movie.
That's a crazy what thing is to have in your house.
It looks like looks like a maid dummy. So you probably go like, oh yeah, the maid's in, or you know, like or something. Like
wait, that. That's wait,
Paul,
wait.
What Paul. Are you talking Paul. About?
All right,
Paul. This is what not think, a thing.
You when think he went?
Nobody has dummies.
He went to a store.
The whole dummies for a
he
pump.
Went to a
he
store. I was like, oh, you know it'll be when funny. You know it'll be funny. Don't buy this.
People have.
When I went
in,
I'm telling you.
I went to the Michael. I went to the.
Paul, think about what you're
saying. When people ask how clean my apartment is and why.
When I have company, I'll say, oh, the maid's in.
Yeah. Here's a.
No, no, no. Paul, the way you kept on saying he has a dummy, like we all have dummies. Like, you stupid
Paul, do you have
bitch.
A dummy?
Everybody has a dummy. Everybody.
I went to the Michael Jackson, like,
whoa.
Auction.
What?
Like, yeah.
What? June, are you safe? June, honestly, are you safe?
I don't know. I don't know. It was very disturbing.
They were auctioning off everything from Neverland Ranch at like Sotheby's, and I went and walked around in this thing, and Michael Jackson had tons of these dummies, and they were like waiters and butlers, and I was like, maybe that was a thing in the 80s, like to have like a dummy in your house.
It wasn't. I have the answer. It wasn't a thing. To have life-size dummies in the home was not a thing from the 80s, Paul.
By the way.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Where are my dummy people at? Dummy people out there.
What if, you'd go to the dummy shop with your friends. You'd look at the dummies.
You figure out
you do your paper route to save up for a dummy. Wait a second. This is like my buddy. This is like you're my buddy. For you.
And I think I know what you think that is.
Yes.
Which is like a little thing, like this big. That
like one of those bronze things that holds your keys?
Yes, where it's got a little flat top, you throw something on it, you put some coasters on it. That's not that.
The dummy.
That is not what that is.
The dummy
is that person is wearing a tennis skirt, are they not?
It looks like a hairnet, a tennis skirt, and white shoes.
What's going on? Is it a person? I'm scared.
It looks like a tennis player.
Is it a person?
The
way is something happening?
I'm so
it's a boy.
Scared.
It's a 3 minute-a-baby situation.
Oh,
I think.
That's what I was wondering. Kind of. Is this a ghost?
This is not the only shot of it, by the way. It appears.
It appears when they kill Sharon Stone in his house. They walk by it again, really briefly.
Wow.
But you can't get it better. This is the best.
I want to talk to
it's
whoever
weird.
Put this together.
Does anyone know what that dummy is?
Oh. Whoa, that was eerie.
Well,
here we go.
This is the last episode of the podcast.
All right, here we go.
If that's the dummy, run.
Yeah. He's sitting next to three dummies.
House lights go up. House lights go up and the whole audience is dummies. And Paul just turns back at us with a big knife. And it's like, this is the last episode.
We all have dummies. Sir, what is that dummy?
It looks like it's like valet. Like it has a towel and a shower cap and slippers. Like that's what he changes into.
That's a woman, first of all.
You're saying it's like a dress make
like
a dress
caddy,
dummy
like a caddy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
okay, that was not an answer.
That was a just a guess, man.
You're just guessing like we're guessing.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
you're
I
an audience person, so your guess is even more worthless than ours.
Wait, speaking
you
of...
You don't pay to guess.
Yeah.
Pay to know.
So we don't...
I'll never forget this.
Well, this body also makes me think of that other section of the movie where they talk about bodies. You remember that when they're on the boat? This is I almost forgot about the joke run. Which is the joke run.
Wait, what is it?
Oh, Matt, Matt
oh,
Art.
Oh, what do you call a guy with no arms, no legs on the floor?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
Matt.
Okay, and then
I loved that they're going back and forth and the guy knows all the answers.
Right.
So it's not like these are not riddles, these are jokes.
But they know them all.
Yeah.
So they're presented in a way that when you first hear it, just seems like one person doesn't know how jokes work.
Yeah.
Like he's like, Bob. Oh, okay. I'm like, oh. But they're not laughing at it.
No one's laughing.
Okay.
It's like he's studying for a test of some sort.
Now, when you get in that room, they're going to do some jokes. You got to know.
Art, Matt, Bob.
When you get in there. One last thing. One last thing about this dummy.
Yes.
As I spend some more time with her, she's not like in a position of servitude. Like she's not frozen. She's not. There's something very alive about the way her body is positioned.
I don't disagree at all.
Maybe that's his ex-wife that we've heard about, but don't see. Which feeds to my theory that he's psychotic. And that he's suicidal.
Yeah,
and
this is like a
Norman Bates. Is stuffed in his living room. And he puts his keys on her.
What is that?
It is weird.
What is that?
It's really weird.
I mean, it's probably like a stuntman made the movie. And who likes dummies more than stuntmen? And he's probably like, throw Susan in there. And that's what they call her. He's like, I've been working with her for 30 years. Let's give her a cameo.
Because at some point, someone, like the scripting must have been like, by the way, there's a weird human body in the shot, right? Do we want to get rid of that? No, leave it. It looks great. It really fills out that corner of the room.
Plus, people are looking at Carl. They're not looking in the background at whoever or whatever might be in the shot.
By the way, Carl Weathers seems to make a good living as a police officer in Detroit. Like, I mean, this is a nice-looking apartment.
Except there's a W, you can't move. There's one weird thing about the apartment, action.
If you're cool with it,
if you're
I'll
cool
take
with
it.
The W.
Oh, man. There's so much.
I have so much to talk about. When they jump out a third floor window and land on the car's roof.
Yeah.
Into mattresses.
And then are totally fine.
Yeah. But that you could see when they land through that roof that it's just covered mattresses. It's like,
oh, really?
Because when they land, like, part of the black, like, taping around it, like, pulls off and you see, like, white mattress.
I also loved that he goes to get information from his guy, but his guy is dead. That's the scene where they try and cut his balls off.
They offer him
a blanket party. I was like, what's a blanket party?
That scene has the other funny part that really made me laugh, where the guy asks him, have you ever heard what it sounds like when a man gets his balls cut off? And Action Jackson's like, no. And the guy's like, you haven't? You don't? Like, he seems genuinely shocked that he doesn't know what it sounds like when a guy gets his balls cut off.
It also seems like a more messy operation. Like, it would be much easier to be like, let's just cut off your dick and ball. Like, you'd have to get in there a little bit more surgically.
And these guys,
they say it's hot dog time.
Yeah.
That's another.
These guys are so into it. The one guy also says, take a little Tom Slick like you and have a little blanket party. Like, that's a line in the movie. And I was like,
what does that mean?
What the fuck is going on?
Also, nothing happens. And, like, he comes back from that scene and goes, Papa Doc is dead.
Yeah.
And the old boxer dude's like, oh, yeah, I could have told you that. He's dead.
Yeah. Like, you should go see D at the barber shop.
D
at the barber shop, who knows everything.
She's the best.
She's like, D at the barber shop is like, oh, I read the script, so let me just tell you what's up.
But every word starts with D.
She knows the intricacies of the plot.
Yeah.
Not just like what, oh, such and such likes this. She knows the plot of the movie.
It was a visit from the Greek chorus.
Yes.
She was D. Yeah. And also when she came on screen, it sounded like the SNL theme song started.
It was featuring D.
It was a real crunchy sax sound came on. You want D.
I do love that Papa Doc was said so many times in that scene. The power
is that like, in another movie?
I don't know.
Papa Doc Duvalier was the Haitian, right? Oh, Baby Doc, Papa Doc, right?
Papa Doc, in 8 Mile. That's what it is. 8 Mile.
They call him Papa
Doc-a.
And yeah,
oh,
yeah.
8 Mile. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank God.
Read my notes.
These guys, use a lot of bombs in funny ways.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, when they blow up that, like...
Why do they handcuff the bomb to the guy? What's the point?
And by the way, in 7 seconds, those people get so fucking far away from that boat.
Yeah.
Like, if that was your whole plan, just... Like,
why not just, like, give yourselves a little more time? Yeah.
Did anybody else think the guy with the blonde wig was Sharon Stone? I was like, oh, cool. She's part of the assassins, and she's his wife. I love that. I love that. Like, her thing is going to be she's the leader of, like, the ghost assassin team. Nope. Just a guy in a blonde wig. She, meanwhile, like, I was shocked that she believed Coach was good. And then she's like, I'm going to hang out with Action Jackson. And is like, to the butler, like, eat a dick, bro. And I was like, what are you up to? She played it all wrong. All wrong. I was surprised she was killed so early as well. That's where I was like, oh, yeah. Sharon Stone at the beginning of her career, like she gets killed early.
Yeah.
Over and over. Total Recall, she gets killed pretty early.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like. The movie was genuinely unpredictable.
Yeah.
Because it made no sense.
Yeah. It would just go like the big end of the movie when he has assembled this team so that we have been not a part of, like, we did not know.
The pickpocket.
Yeah, the pickpocket's like, this guy's fainting every time he sees you. Why is he now a part of your team? And then...
Oh, and Mr. Ed. Yeah. And Mr.
Why
Ed.
Why does he say that?
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. And jumps out of the rafters?
That was the most...
Why?
I was 100% sure I heard him say that.
The minute
wrong.
That guy goes, hello, I'm... Bang, 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 bang. He's dead.
Why did he
like,
say
don't,
hello?
Don't identify yourself and where you are if you're trying to sneak up on people.
Why? That would be
why
like the worst Splinter
thing.
He said he made like a Mr. Ed the horse joke. I think.
Why?
Put it in. Action. Let's go. Let's go.
A man who is in the movie, a gigantic person, has somehow managed to get into the rafters of the building, of the warehouse.
I didn't even understand why that guy would be friends with Action Jackson.
There's one shot.
Okay.
Early on when Craig T. Nelson is Sean Delaplane's being mean to Vanity.
Right.
And Mr. Ed doesn't like it.
He's like Vanity's bodyguard. He's like, are you sure you don't want me to come with you?
Yeah.
And Coach is like, you know who pays you, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I also think that they just had a mutual respect and understanding.
Oh, by the way, his name is Ed. Yeah. In the movie. So he was just...
By the way, it's E-D-D.
Yes.
What?
According to my closed captioning.
So he wasn't even making a joke. He was just saying, like, hi,
I'm Mr. Ed.
Yes. He literally was announcing his arrival.
He was Mr. Ed.
Into the fight.
No joke needed.
It makes more sense why he said it.
It's a polite way to fight. But there is, so I guess he's like, he would want to save Vanity, but it's also like, Action Jackson beats the shit out of him, or he doesn't. I guess he
tackles him.
He punches him in the face. He kicks him in the leg. The guy is unfazed in any way, and then tackles him and leaves him unconscious on the floor. And he's like, "That's my friend."
The best fight though is the heroin needle fight.
Oh, my God,
that's crazy.
That guy's so excited that he's gonna kill Action Jackson.
Yeah.
But by the way, the heroin subplot in this movie
it's
is
weird.
So Vanity is Craig T. Nelson's girl on the side. She's a singer, and the opening scene where she sings a song.
She's amazing.
Great.
Okay. She's always, I mean, this is the second movie I've seen her in. She's a compelling
performer.
100%.
She's Prince's protégé.
She's amazing.
And those songs are good.
Yeah. She sings these songs and she's like, I thought I'd get a standing ovation. To which Craig T. Nelson's like, you are.
That's the grossest another dick line. And it's also like nothing shows you're a bad guy more than being alone in like a nightclub watching a singer practice. Yeah. Like that's like the most common thing a bad guy does.
It's like
just request
club,
a private performance.
Just watching them like perv out, just fucking smoking.
Like if you're alone at a table in a nightclub that is empty, watching a singer on stage in the day, you're a villain.
You're a villain. And if you have bleach blonde hair, then you're really a villain.
That's like Mr. Joshua action from like Lethal Weapon.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they all have bleach blonde hair. Yeah. It was.
But they also, like, what's more uncomfortable, being the person that you're singing to or the person that has to sing? Like, you, like, I was like, it's uncomfortable for both people.
I'd be so awkward.
Yeah, like,
great job. Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson, though, is good in this movie. His bad guy, like, thing that I thought was great was like, he doesn't blink. He just says eyes are like wide. It's like lock. Like it's like it's like
he no. Looks, he was I loved bad. Him. I loved him. He reminded me of like even though late in the movie and it is it's a crazy plan that he wants a voting block is what he wants out of this.
And he references Jimmy Carter.
I think,
at one point.
That basically the unions got the peanut farmer into the presidency. But it reminded me of the bad guy in Roadhouse.
Kevin Ty,
right? That was his name.
What's his name though?
Ian Roadhouse.
Yeah, his actual name is like
Ben Gazzara. Oh, thank you.
Sorry,
it felt like those stakes. It felt like just local bad guy villain stakes until it was like, oh no, I need the unions so that I can have votes so I can get. And that I was like, oh, this guy's like kind of smart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a good plan.
Yeah.
And but what was his, like, I kept on trying to understand, did he actually love and care about his son, the sexual psychopath?
He didn't give a fuck about anything.
If he doesn't give a fuck about anyone, then why does he care about Action Jackson?
He just wants power.
But
he says it at the end.
Yeah.
And there's a part where Action Jackson's tied up and he's like, ask me anything.
Yeah. Like, that was the best part. Like they make fun
AMA.
Of that scene.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want to know what my plan is? Anyway, here it is. Like,
anything D didn't clear up in your little thing? Because I'll fill in those holes.
He then is like, his guy, his henchman is going to assassinate the guy at the party.
Yes.
Then he's going to go, but the whole thing immediately goes awry, right? Because Action Jackson shows up, everything happens.
He just tells the pickpocket to run.
Yeah.
That's their whole plan.
But Coach...
Run!
But Coach still goes, grabs Vanity, and is trying to give her the OD.
Yeah.
But also...
I was like, what are you doing, man?
What was that side... What was the side plot where, like, a woman comes up to Craig T. Nelson and goes... There's no one parking the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, by the way, that woman, the actual line was...
Yeah.
I've been waiting.
Like, I've been waiting.
There's nobody to take the car.
Yeah, there's no valet
or something.
No, but
she says... Oh, thank you. She goes... I watched it. I rewound it. I watched it a few times because I was like, these words could never come out of my mouth. I would literally... It's the performance of a lifetime. She delivers so seamlessly the lines... I'm scandalized. No one was at the valet. Scandalized.
No one was at the valet.
Oh, yeah.
No one was
like
at the valet.
It was a real, like,
he's like
infraction.
He's like,
lady, I'm trying to plan an assassination.
let's see. And, like, you would go here.
I gotta
let's
hear
see,
her
let's
again.
See it.
Peter.
Yes.
I'm scandalized. There was no one there to park our car.
That woman deserves an Oscar for that performance.
Nice to see you.
Wonderful.
Is that just showing that his friends are pieces of shit?
Yeah.
But that's a crazy look. Like, that has nothing to do with anything. In the movie.
Well, I think what it's illustrating is that Action Jackson and those guys are there and have eliminated
they
some
killed
of
his valet.
The valet is in on it, too.
Yeah, the
valet is the bad guy.
Yeah, the valet's their henchmen. They got to go, baby.
Is it pronounced Halley or Haley?
Wait,
I always thought it was Haley's Comet.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they keep calling it Halley. I don't fucking know. Whatever.
I just realized maybe the valet is the person in his house. That's why the valet isn't there.
Because he drives the car into the house?
No, the valet and that person standing in the background of Action Jackson's house.
Oh, that's he's just waiting there the whole time. Like, and he's like, oh, damn it. That guy's frozen.
Like, you're going to be late for work at the party. I would love it if he just kept talking to the dummy.
Just had a dummy sidekick.
That's my roommate. He's a valet.
He's a dummy valet.
No, I didn't fuck her. She's got a sweet tooth.
By the way, so when Craig T. Nelson, you think that they're going to have sex, he's like, you know, give me a reason. She says, I'll give you two. She takes off her top. And then they look like they're about to have sex. And then he just shoots her up. And then is he going to have sex with her unconsciously?
Yeah, I wrote down, he consensually Cosby's her. which is kind of, I don't know if that works, but that's kind of what happened.
No,
she kind of seemed like she was like, knock me out so you
well,
can fuck
and then
me.
Later he makes out with dead Sharon Stone.
Yeah,
so
he's
like,
got a thing.
He's got a thing.
Yeah, he's got a thing.
But so
he's bad.
He's very bad. And so is that coroner who sees Sharon Stone's body in Ashton Jackson's apartment, and he's like, oh, I only get to see women like this when they're already dead. I'm like, sir, a human soul has left its
beautiful
vessel.
Woman. Too bad I get to
before
see when their guts
like,
all blown out.
That's like a theme in action movies is like gross men commenting on dead women.
It's terrible.
Like, there's a lot of that. You could do a supercut of that.
But please don't.
Please don't. But if you do, send it to just my personal email address.
And
play D'Angelo in the background
just,
of it.
And you're still at hotcorpses69
at AOL,
email, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
One of my other funny, like, my favorite, like, man and woman scenes in this movie is, like...
Is that what you call them? Man and woman scenes?
You know, one of those classic man
and woman scenes. Oh, this is one of those man and woman scenes. Oh, this one's a multiple men scene.
You know, then you got one of those, like, it's two men, one woman
this
scene.
This is a man and woman
two
scene.
Two women, one man scene. Like.
Fade in. Man and woman scene. Man is dressed in man clothes, woman in woman clothes.
Man in man voice says woman in woman voice.
It was one of those man and woman scenes. What are you talking about? You work in this business. What's happening right now?
I like a classic man and woman scene.
Purist. None of this men scenes or women scenes.
Fading.
I love a good rom-com with a man and a woman.
Oh my God. How was work today? It was good. We did two man woman scenes. And then we got to a man, three women, and a dog scene. And then I thought we were going to get to the man drives the car scene, but we didn't. So we pushed it.
When Action Jackson pulls up to Craig T. Nelson's house, he's like, he's walking up to the door, and then Sharon Stone opens it, and then basically, what does she say? She's like,
are you leaving? Are you driving?
Are you going to town? He's like, yes, I am. Yeah. Wait, you were walking in.
He said, I'm just coming to see you, and she says, are you going into town? And she said, because the chauffeur had, or the guy, the butler, I don't know, just said, do you need a ride or whatever? That's what she's basically like, eat shit, you turkey. You okay, Jim? Really, man, woman scene really got you. Huh?
It's so crazy.
I'm so sorry.
That's how they break it down at this call sheet.
How many women on set today?
10 a.m. call time. We're starting with a man woman scene.
We're gonna move to the woman scene.
Then it's a woman scene, and then we'll do.
This is basically like a porn breakdown.
All I see is gender. That's all I care about.
All I see is gender.
If you're one of two things, you're a man or a woman, that's all I care.
It's one of those people you don't see anything but, you just see man, not woman.
Everyone's like the door of a bathroom to him. You either have legs or a triangle skirt, and that's
it. I really thought gravity was really good when it was a man-woman scene. But then it was just a woman scene for a lot. And I don't know, I couldn't get as into it. Oh, I don't know how we come back from this. You should just go to the audience.
All right. Same.
Does anyone have any questions? We'll take questions from men. Men or women, I'll take a question. All right, we got a question from a man over here. All right, sir, come forward. Come over here, sir. You can come.
You'll have to stand up because from the upper part, they look the same.
Welcome, sir. How are you?
Thank you.
All right, your question.
It's more of an observation, but it's built on the mannequin in the apartment. So before that, he walked by a taxidermy parrot in a cage.
Okay.
And then also later in the scene when they go to a bar, there was a bathtub with a mannequin leg.
There was another mannequin?
By the way, this is actually the best kind of... I feel like we're seeing something going on here. The set deck person probably had some issue
loved
with
loved mannequin.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also did the movie Mannequin.
That was my question, like, is this somehow in the world of the movie Mannequin?
No. Mannequin! This is Mannequin 3. Action Jackson.
Mannequin.
But it takes place in the Mannequin universe.
In the Mannequin universe. The MCU? The Mannequin Cinematic Universe.
Andrew McCarthy should have been in this. This is a bit part.
He's the Agent Coulson of this universe.
Oh, wait, what was the guy's name from Designing Women in that movie? Yeah, Hollywood. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good. What's your question?
So I guess it was more of an observation. The two cops.
Guys, are we not doing questions today? What's the deal? Did you all agree? No
two
questions?
Things. One, so the integral part of his whole thing is that rich people can't tell black men apart?
Yeah.
Okay. That's like his whole plan.
That part of the
That's
plan.
It.
The huge, red shirt huge will part of the just plan. Confuse yeah. everyone.
Will just confuse everyone.
He's banking on
and
it.
And then the second one was the two cops were my favorite.
Yeah.
Two things they said that I loved was, I have roaches in my apartment that tell jokes better than you.
Yeah. They had good banter.
And then at the end, when the bad guy dies, he goes, "That's one dead piece of shit car builder."
Yeah. You're right. The end of this movie is wrapped up as if everyone also heard the script before they walked through the door.
Yeah,
like, they all knew.
Yeah, there was no communication. They're like, hey, great job. All right, we did it. All right, we want to be partners? Let's go. All right, it was.
Well, like Action Jackson's ex-partner is like, he's like, what are you going to do? And she's like, Jackson, Vanity screams from the window. And he just tosses him a gun.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, go get her. Like,
I did like
this. He goes, fuck it. Yeah, he says, fuck it.
All right, ma'am, your name, your question.
Helen. This is more of an observation, but.
What are we doing, guys?
I just wanted to talk about how Vanity apparently goes through withdrawals and fully recovers from heroin addiction in 12 hours, give or take.
Well, she kicked a cold turkey. It's easy.
Well, she decides. There's a moment where she chooses to be over her heroin withdrawals at the end of the movie where she's just like, I'm
she's
fine.
Like mind over matter. Yeah. You know?
I like the way she played cracked out on heroin. Like, I feel like that was a real bold choice. Like,
But I also thought it was a restrained performance in a way. Like,
She's really good.
Like, I didn't know where we were gonna go.
And I liked the scene where he comes and she's not in the room, and he has to find her in the dealer's room, and that fight happens.
Yeah.
Like, she really I liked her that she can't not.
I did have a logic question though about how she found that dealer because, like, did
in
she sniff it out? Like, you know, she was just in this like a weird like hotel. Like, she's like,
yeah, but that's like a junkie hotel.
Yeah, Paul, you just don't understand.
You don't understand.
You just don't understand that.
I kept thinking the hotel was kind of nice. Like, it has room service, and even though it's served by a pickpocket,
it looked
good, and it had a saucer for the coffee cup.
Sure.
Like, it was...
No, like, I feel like, actually, that's the kind of breakfast I always want.
It looked like a good breakfast. I don't know how the pickpocket started working there, for the life of me. That pickpocket was like the squirrel in Ice Age. Like,
yes. He's everywhere.
All right, here we go. Your name, your question.
Sarah, Is it cool in 1988 to just throw a party like 2 days after your wife dies?
That's a great question.
Was it that recent?
The answer, it was a birthday party.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
If you're a villain, absolutely.
Why not?
And it's not after your wife died. It's after you murdered your wife.
Well, no, but
after your second wife died.
Yeah. But they're like, that woman should have said, like, hey, there's no one to take the valet. Also, I'm so sorry about your wife. Like,
do people maybe not know?
No, it's on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Right. His wife, he's framing Action
Jackson. Action
Jackson,
yeah.
So, yeah, nobody's talking about the fact that, dude, I can't believe your wife was recently murdered.
Well, listen.
By a police officer who put your son in jail.
Yeah. And by the way, are
But I don't think they were married, were they?
Yes, he introduced
his wife.
Same last name. Delaplane.
But now Delaplane.
Of the plane.
So...
Oh, of the plane, maker of cars.
By the way, I love Delaplane's style. When he did his kung fu, like he was wearing a polo shirt and then a sweatshirt over the polo shirt just to do some sparring.
Were saying I couldn't tell who was teaching who in that
scene. Yeah, I didn't know.
And then he goes, at the end, he goes, lesson's over.
Yeah, I was like, I thought that guy was teaching him.
Is he the sensei or not?
I thought it was like... I brought you in to make me better, but guess what? I'm better than you. Lesson's over. Like, I thought it was like a real dick move.
When he started doing karate, it was surprising.
It was very surprising.
That was an amazing, like you never expected.
Well, see,
I knew to climax
that.
And Carl Weathers and Craig T. Nelson in a karate battle.
See, I assumed that was coming because he did karate in every episode of Coach.
He was a karate coach, right?
It was karate coach.
He was a karate coach.
Yeah. The first two seasons are just karate.
Just a karate coach. You got to keep your knees up, man.
Craig T. Nelson to me, like, I remember growing up and thinking, like, oh, that's middle-aged.
Yeah.
Just like, that's what that is.
How old is he in this movie, do you think?
To me, he always looks like he's, like, 48.
Yeah. Right.
Like, he's always
eternally 48.
I bet in this movie, he's 37.
That's crazy.
I bet you would be shocked at how young he is.
What did they do to him? Did they dye his
eyebrows? Somebody look it up right now.
Well, his eyebrows dark, yeah.
Yeah, his eyebrows are dark and his hair, I mean,
but
his hair.
But he has like a shock of silver hair.
Yeah.
I thought it was bleach blonde.
Bleach blonde?
I thought his hair was bleach blonde. I could be wrong. I don't know.
We do have to break down the car.
He was 44?
44 in this movie?
He was 44 when he made this movie.
Wow. All right.
I buy that.
Oh, he was born in 44.
He was born in 1944.
Oh, and he was 44.
Oh, and it's 88. Okay.
Oh, so he was also. Whoa.
Both check out. Okay.
Hey, guys, don't give me math to do. Just give me fucking answers, okay?
But it was a leap year. So anyway, now go. Sir, your name, your question.
I'm Mike. So when Carl Weathers gets the post-it from Sharon Stone and says, oh, I'm going to go talk to my husband, he doesn't run after her. He goes to watch Vanity go perform at a club and do that dance that Paula Abdul choreographed where she, like, jerks her shoulder a lot.
That was good.
Yeah, and then, but why doesn't he's been suspicious of Craig T. Nelson since, like, minute one and doesn't run after, he doesn't go, oh, no, she's going to die. It's very obvious. He runs to him when he's in that restaurant and doesn't, to say, like, hey,
You're saying that Action Jackson's a bad cop. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then,
wow.
Son of a bitch.
So you hate Action Jackson.
Well,
so Action Jackson can't just see a concert and take a break from work for a second.
Well, but funny enough, you say that. So I work with Carl Weathers, and I texted him because I'm coming here, and I say, oh, is there one thing that you, like, want me to say? And he texted back, all I remember is wanting more time to make a better movie.
Aww.
More stuff that he wanted to. There was probably more stuff he wanted to do or get done.
That's
right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I would like
prequel.
Yeah. Yeah. Who has a good question? Good question. All right. I do. I am amazed at the puns because the puns are so bad. When he does take the car and drives it through the house, and again, there's so much to get into this, but he drives the car into one of the bad guys, and then he says to him, "You lose." But
As if
it's
been,
true.
As if earlier they'd started a game.
He also before he blows up the bazooka dude, he goes, "How do you like your ribs?"
Yep.
Which is not a question you ever get asked.
And unless the answer
ribs
is
come
like,
one way.
Because the answer is like with a grenade?
Yeah, with them exploded? But also it's like cooked. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Cooked till they're
like,
done.
It's not like a burger. You can't have it.
No one's like, "I like my ribs rare."
Well, wait, do you think he was asking about, like, how do you like eating ribs or how do you like your own ribs?
I thought it was like a preparation related question, honestly.
But no, it would be like, because I think
like a teriyaki.
No, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like a
barbecue
Hawaiian
sauce
style.
On the side or.
Spare.
The choice to make the car go up the stairs.
That's amazing. Man.
Like go up the stairs and then make a hard turn.
Yes.
Like, and think about every hallway that you've been in your life and how
Wait a second, Paul,
what?
Give them a minute.
Right. Yeah, just take a...
Because
think about every hallway you've been in, including tonight, in your life. But like the reality of having a car drive down
if
a hallway.
If you're listening to the podcast, pause.
Pull
you
over.
Have the luxury
Pull your
of
car
time.
Over.
Really think about it. You're the hospital you were born in. Go from there, the home that you grew up in, the schools that you were a part of. Think of all the hallways.
If you ever went on a field trip, maybe you went to Washington, D.C.
Picture rooms you've been in. How'd you get there?
What was between them?
Hallways. That's
everywhere.
Where we're fucking living in a world of hallways. Now remember them all. Did any of them have a car driving in it?
I'll say, every time I was like, they
life is a hallway. I'm sorry, Seth. Go ahead.
I'm good.
But the thought that he never gets out of the car.
Hallway to the danger zone.
That works.
He never gets out of the car. He just drives it and keeps on making left and right turns. Like at any point, he should just be like, "All right, I'll get out now," and they'll
and
just run.
He knew how to get there.
Yeah, he knew how to find the room. He ain't never
Two
been
left,
in the house,
right?
And then he's only saying the line from the commercials, like hotter, hotter, hottest. Like,
why?
Because it was in the commercial for the Halley's Comet.
You know, listen, we
car.
Do know he is a he is a car guy.
Got it.
Who?
Yeah, because he has
he's a huge
car. Car. Yeah,
he's an Impala.
Six Impala.
Yeah, that Argyle. Yeah.
Oh. All right, your name, your question.
Lisan, when Action Jackson punches Mr. Ed in the face.
By the way, I don't like that you just like Action Jackson. Like, you be impressed. It's Action Jackson. Get it. Sell it. You don't have to be embarrassed to say it.
Action Jackson punches Mr. Ed in the face, and Mr. Ed says that he put himself through medical school through this work, and that it is against his religious belief to hurt people because he's Muslim.
Yeah.
But then, in the end of the movie, he definitely hurts some people. I was raised Muslim, so I would like to know, what is this movie's stance on Muslim religion?
It's a legit question.
It did not check out to you.
I'm not sure. At first I thought, oh, thank God, for once in a movie, we're not evil.
He was good, though.
Yeah, no, he was protecting Vanity. That's why he hurt those people, right?
But he still hurt people, so then I'm like, okay, Muslims are still shown as people who hurt people.
Only if they have to.
Only when protecting. All right, sir, your name, your question.
Hi, my name is Joe, and my question has to do with the pickpocket that's just, like, from the minute he sees Action Jackson, he's scared shitless, like, constantly, but he's never seen him do anything.
No.
He spills coffee.
Well, but those cops told him all those stories.
Yeah. But he's like a pickpocket in the streets of Detroit. I mean, he's
seen some shit.
Yeah, like... You know, he like walks some like breakfast to his room and like drops.
I feel like the streets have not hardened him.
No, he seems soft. Like, he seems like a soft,
like a
he's a young man.
Spirit.
Yeah.
All right.
He wasn't cut out for that work. I don't
he's
think.
Not the. And then it's a second pickpocket.
Another pickpocket.
Takes his wallet.
They
right.
They live in a world where pickpocketing is very prevalent.
It is really yeah. like the central crime of
Detroit.
Of 88 era Detroit.
And this movie has the worst ADR because like the next scene they're just in their. In a stairwell, Vanity and Action Jackie's like, "Did you take my wallet?" Like,
yeah.
Like they're just like they're filling in.
Why
so
did that
many
happen?
Yeah, why?
It
did
never
that
comes.
Happen?
It never comes back.
Did that was that necessary at all? That he not have his wallet and it's not
no.
like
yeah.
it's not like Coach's guy stole his wallet to
no.
plant it on the fake guy
nope.
or something.
Yeah. Nope.
It literally never comes back. The second time I watched it, I was like, does that wallet thing come back? And I was like, nope,
it's
never
almost
comes
like
back.
There's parts of the movie that don't add up.
Which is. I felt like I was in good hands.
Sir, your name, your question.
My name is Philip. My question is, do you think that he uses his law degree to basically handle all the open lawsuits that are against this horrible police department? Because he says he's been doing them for about 2 years. And there's a scene where Armbruster is chewing him out in the beginning of the film, and he says, if you do a good job, you'll get your lieutenant stripes back. Which I don't think are a real thing. And he says it like 15 times.
Well, he's been demoted. He was a lieutenant, and now he's been demoted back down to sergeant as a result of almost ripping the arm off of the sexual yeah. psychopath.
And he's a cop who's... I don't know if you can be a cop if you can't have a gun.
What do you mean?
He's not allowed to have a gun.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, no, his weapons, like... permissions have been revoked.
You think that would get you fired?
But I would argue that his body is a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is so, a bionic
in the scene
man.
Where he is shirtless, I said, oh, yeah. holy fuck, yeah. out loud. I said, wow.
He is like
he's what, mountainous.
Yeah, you don't... You don't see the layer of one layer of muscles when it's on like a shirt. It's crazy.
The scenes where he's running, he has so much like explosive energy. It's like it's real. Like it's crazy.
Well, yeah. That was what's crazy about the taxi cab scene when he's out running a taxi cab is he is so bionic and so I could watch that man run.
Yeah.
It was cinematic. It's beautiful to
well,
watch.
Well, that's the action stuff, and I'm not surprised to find out it was a stunt person that missed. I mean, directed it. The action stuff, that scene especially, is good.
Yes.
Like, there's good action set pieces that work. What doesn't work is, like, the bullpen cop camaraderie
and
stuff.
And even like when Action Jackson says stuff, like sometimes it doesn't make sense coming out of his mouth. Like when he says like six of one, half a dozen of another. But I've heard that a million times. I know that's a phrase. But the way he says it doesn't even. It feels like someone just, like, just say it. Like it doesn't feel like he's ever heard it. Like he just said it too slow. Like six of one, half a dozen of another. Like oh. Right, it was the only time I've ever heard it that.
Yeah, the emphasis was on a strange yeah. word.
All right, you said it was worth it to come to you for the last one, so here we go. Sir, your name, your question.
Zane.
Zane.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I've already got worries.
Exactly.
I was going to bring up the point about the wallet.
Are you Zane Malik?
Man, I wish. No.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry. So the other thing was, whenever they make the sequel or prequel, either Reaction or Pre-Action Jackson, do you think they should cast Michael B. Jordan in the role so that we can continue this thing of him playing the role of his father?
Whoa, or young Carl Weathers.
Oh, I yeah. love that.
I like that.
I would
all
love
right,
to
see... All right, Zane.
I would love to see an Action Jackson sequel with Michael B. Jordan.
A as reboot? A reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah, his son, because I think Carl
Junior,
Weathers
Junior
would be so
Jackson?
Good. What? Yeah, Action Jackson Jr.?
Yeah.
Get more tongue-tied. all right, so obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but
oh,
now
you're
his
son. You're just a fraction of Action Jackson. Guys, on fire tonight.
Fire tonight. Killing it.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
I saw a film on Amazon
a most confounding contradiction. But it's true, fans will carry on. They hold the truth of their convictions. Now they man the barricade.
Do you hear what people say?
Against the tide of poor reviewing.
They don't care what critics think.
They will give a passing grade.
If you don't like it, then you're dumb.
They will give it all five stars.
One star more.
Simply their opinion, not the first, but
all five stars.
That this movie is fantastic.
It's just stupid.
That the race is all but.
I liked the Meg.
And the haters and the losers can go off and boil their heads. Go ahead and give the Oscar. Are you hearing what I said? 'Cause the only thing that matters now is this, my second opinion.
Give it up for Ned and Rachel. Come on down. Enjoy this poster and this. All right, so these are five-star reviews, culled from Amazon.com. There are 112 total reviews of this film. 58% are five-star.
Whoa.
And and they're all a little weird. This one is by Joseph. It was written in 2014. And it starts like this. This movie shows a very good range of acting. I always picture Craig T. Nelson as a very positive influence in roles as a football coach in All the Right Moves and in the TV series Coach. He played a great villain. I do not know he could act as a bad guy. Five stars. This one is from Chels, 2012. It was titled Fun and Active.
Active.
If you like speed and action, then this is for you. With this, you will see lots of running and bullets flying. You will think one certain person is actually the suspect, but he isn't. It's really fun, dramatic, and active all in one.
What?
But who is the person that you think
is
the suspect?
Who is the mystery? Who did that person
think
the
villain was? Is just the villain.
Yeah, there's
from
never...
From the beginning of the movie to the very end.
Yes. Who did he think? Did he think it was action? I don't trust this guy.
And then this one, I just read it because it's weird, from Juliet. This is in 2016. Sorry, I didn't know I wanted this movie. That's all. Five stars.
My favorite thing about these five-star reviews is I know from hearing enough of them now that some people just think they're contacting customer service. Yeah.
And then we will end on this one by Kusei Adachi. This is in 2014. Sharon Stone was young and serious.
Why are you another doing this voice? What's this?
He knows Kusei. That's what Kusei sounds like.
Sharon Stone
was young and serious. Another her charm and beauty. To see her is nice experience and a dream of a woman. Five stars. None of these reference Action Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah, that is it. And then there's one, it's not worth reading the whole thing, but this is from Timothy.
Chalamet?
Yeah. Wow. And this is in, she goes, Jericho Jackson is almost a god. Carl Weathers plays the washed up cop whose reputation gives him nothing but disrespect. That's a characteristic of a mortal. Five stars. I don't know. It starts off with the god, but then it calls him immortal, but it still worked for this person.
Do you think this person...
Timothée.
Timothée Chalamet wrote this review because they feared people might watch the movie and think they were seeing a god?
Yeah.
And that they better write in to make sure we understand this is a mortal.
Certainly mortal. He is certainly mortal. This movie came out, like I said, in 1988. Its budget was, well, $7 million.
Not bad.
Not bad. And the opening week was $5.4 million.
For the number of stunts that are in there, by the way, that's like...
Yeah.
Pretty well done.
It grossed $20 million, so it made money. It came in 49th out of all the movies made. Top three movies of 88, Rain Man, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Coming to America.
Wow. Those are all much better movies.
And this movie beat My Stepmother is an Alien, Bloodsport, Mac and Me, and Monkey Shines All, which we've done on the podcast.
This movie beat those movies.
Yes.
Wow.
Because it came in good. Now, here is the tagline, which I like.
That's surprising.
Name, Jericho Jackson. Nickname, Action. Home, Detroit. Profession, Cop. Education, Harvard Law. Hobby, Fighting Crime.
Hobby.
Fighting crime.
So on his off hours.
Yes.
Also fights crime.
Weapon, you're looking at him.
Hey. Yeah.
I like that his hobby. His job should be, well.
No.
Look, you know you're in the right line of work when your hobby is your profession.
I would love it if it was like hobby, like... Paper mache. Yeah.
Making mannequins. Like,
dummies.
bullet journaling.
I mean, I do think Action Jackson brings it in this movie. I think Carl Weathers, I love Carl Weathers in everything. And I think even that moment where they made him do like an Eddie Murphy-esque character as the preacher, like he went for it. Like
He went for it. It went on for way too long.
Wait, yeah.
The score helped.
Yes, yeah.
They committed. You could tell they were editing and they went to the composer and they're like, can you help this? And the guy's like, yeah, I'll do something. I'll amp it up.
She comes in and she's like, he's basically, they're going to cut his nuts and dick off.
Yeah.
They've got
it was hot dog time.
And it's just, they're just
blanket party.
In the men's room at the pool hall, right?
Yeah.
Or are they even in a men's room? Are they just in a pool hall?
They're in like a back area.
Yeah, they're yes.
And then she comes in and is like, "Oh, it's my brother, and he got hit in the head,
and then he immediately
thinks he's a preacher, and it's none of, and they seem to immediately be like, "Oh, cool, okay, that's our bad.
Yeah,
sorry.
So we don't have to cut his nuts off.
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
we hate that.
By the way, though, I've told this to Paul before, and in the back of my mind, like this is always my plan of action. Like if things go south, to just act completely fucking insane. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's exactly...
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do. Like, if confronted by anyone on a street, and everyone should know
first
this.
Things first things first.
First things
shit
first.
Shit my pants.
That's what I was going to say. Force myself to shit my pants. I was going to say the exact same
guess
thing.
Guess what? If you want to cut my dick off, it's going to be covered in shit. Just know.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a new knife
because
after that one.
No, you're going to have to clean up because I'm going to diarrhea this whole thing.
I would argue, though, June, your MO is to flee.
That's correct.
June takes off.
If I can't, my next move is like just go bananas. Crazy.
And here's just a taste of Carl Weathers going bananas, just to end. Here we go.
He's a lot more oral than Oral Roberts. Listen to him.
Yes! Yes, I was sent. I was sent to bring you down, brother. Yes, yes, I was sent. I was sent to bust your asses and wipe these streets clean. Yes, because I am the man.
Well, are you looking for Papa Duck?
And you may possess his righteous manhood, but his soul, it still seems free and clean.
He's got a metal plate in his head.
Somebody give me an amen.
This motherfucker's crazy, man.
I give myself an amen. Amen. Yes, I can hear it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Allow me to lay my healing hand upon you.
And then it goes. And then it goes into a fight.
What a weird move.
And now are we to believe
that... Yeah, that's his first move.
First move.
Smash the guy's hand with the glass.
I would be afraid. I'd get glass in my hand.
Of course.
Are we to believe that Vanity does become his partner in the next movie?
Yeah.
I would love that. They're a great pair.
Well, that's the thing. That's what this movie was missing for me is like he should have been part of a team. You know, like, and I feel like that would have made it a little bit better.
He needed his Judge Reinhold. Well, he is part of a team, and the joke seems to be that he is with a woman who's in heroin withdrawal.
Yes.
Like they like lean on that dynamic comedically, like at several points throughout the movie, and it's crazy.
We're going to do good cop, bad cop differently. Yeah. Good cop, heroin cop.
Heroin cop, yeah.
Good cop, drowsy cop. You don't want my partner to come in here.
She's all hopped up in heroin. She can fall asleep in a second.
She's like, where were you?
Don't make me get out this adrenaline shot to get her back up. Jason, would you recommend the movie?
Yeah, I would. It's really, I thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, home run.
In my history of not renting but buying, I'm mad that I rented this because I would have liked to have owned this movie.
Yeah, I would. I would watch this film again.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
And that for me, that's huge.
That's like maybe the first time you've ever seen it. Paul, when you watch a movie, do you make a little note in a notebook, like man, woman scene, like? Followed by...
What was the breakdown?
Yeah, well, this is interesting. This is 131 men, and it was 62 women movie. And it was, and for that ratio, it was really good. It was a really solid...
It must make, like, big open street scenes really hard. Oh, shit. Man, woman. Oh, shit. Okay, so my vision for this scene is there's 63 men walking this way.
My scripts, when you read my scripts, it is dense in man-woman scenes. And then, you know, and then some people will be like, well, can you also break it down in race? And I got to go there, and I go very specific. I get into every detail. Clothing type, shorts. There's three shorts.
How many shorts?
Four longs.
There was two culotte scenes.
So in this scene in the restaurant has 10 tables. At table number one is a four top. There is two couples on a double date. This is the second time they've hung out together. There is a man wearing a polo shirt, jeans. There
you
is a
laugh,
woman.
But when Christopher Nolan came up with the one-man superhero movie, that's what he called it, one-man Batman. That's how he came across
one
it.
One-man, no way.
Seth, what about you? Well, you've seen it twice.
Yeah, I watched it twice in a 24-hour period. So I would clearly, I would recommend this movie. It's fucking crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really fun. And if you like this, like this is like an 80s action movie that kind of just bypassed me, and it's up there with all the ones I think now that I've loved in the past.
It's almost like the most quintessential 80s action movie I've ever seen in some ways.
Yeah.
Like, in that it's kind of shitty, like the 80s were as a decade.
Yeah.
And like, it's very Herbie Hancock, like, it's more 80s than Die Hard, even, because Die Hard's good. So it doesn't belong in the 80s.
No, and it actually is like one of the rare 80 movies, and I may be wrong in saying this, but it doesn't make you feel like, ooh, that's a little like, you know, it's like it's not totally off base.
Like one of the least douchey 80s movies of all time.
And there
because
are
Carl Weathers is kind of like asexual in it.
Yeah.
Like The Rock.
I mean, there is like gratuitous nudity, but it's also like the 80s were a time. Like, I remember watching movies just like, oh, I guess I'm going to see naked bodies. Like, that's a place.
The
80s, movies are a place I go.
The 80s are presented when you could see boobs in a PG movie.
Oh, for sure. So it was different, but
thank God.
But presented for the most part in an unsexualized way. Like, Sharon Stone is just like,
I did write down in my notes, like, oh, remember real boobs in movies?
Yeah. These breasts were refreshing.
Yes. I agree. I agree. Like a glass of rosé on a hot summer day.
Yes.
These boobs refreshing.
These are frosé. These are frosé boobs.
That's a t-shirt. These boobs were refreshing.
Jason, you have anything to plug?
I have nothing to plug, I don't think.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, I have been watching 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, me too.
It's
great.
What is it?
It's a television program.
I've heard it's amazing.
It's great.
So this season of it, I don't know about other seasons, but this season that we are watching is unbelievable.
It's a doc series that follows like about 7 or 8 couples that are all trying to get married. And
are they like mail order bride people?
little bit of that, but yeah. a little bit of not too. Like it's a real mix. That's what makes it interesting.
But
it's like,
mostly men women.
It's men women combination.
It's a lot
That's
of men
Paul
women.
Likes it.
It is a man. Yeah,
it's easy
a
to break
lot of
down.
Men women. Yeah.
So when you're watching it, June, do you have to break it down with Paul?
Always.
Oh, in this scene, Paul, there's a man and
no,
woman.
I see it. I you see do. It clearly. That's oh, I see it clearly. Sees. Yeah.
That's why he likes yeah,
yeah.
it.
I mean, I get
so
it.
So this
I mean,
is yeah. a show about a man and a woman.
Yeah, it's about four men, four women. Doc show. It's a great show.
Oh, I would like to plug my single that's on Spotify, Life is a Hallway.
You charge way too much for a single,
Jason. I think Hallway to the Danger Zone would be a better
You think that's
single.
Better? That's better. Okay, so it's an A and a B side. Life is a Hallway and Hallway to the Danger Zone. I'm crossing my fingers that Hallway to the Danger Zone is in Top Gun 2. Kenny Loggins, call me.
Seth,
but
you
seriously,
were...
Kenny Loggins, please stop calling me.
He takes these shows literally. I'm okay. I don't know. I have nothing coming out.
All right. Well, I'll just briefly plug that I did this movie called Slice, which is now on digital platforms. Chance the Rapper, Sazzy Beats, and it's kind of like Scooby Doo meets David Lynch. It's like a weird midnight B movie that was shot for like nothing, but it's crazy. It's got werewolves, ghosts, and witches in it, and it's and pizza. So it's called Slice. Check it out.